Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers Podcast, a place artisans can come together in community, brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale.
And I'm Christina Schulman, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Nikki Adamkiewicz with the Sassy Subber. She is an awesome, awesome, awesome past vendor for Everything Embroidery Market, and she knows her stuff. So Nikki, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for saying my last name correctly. My poor last name gets butchered terribly. I don't even put it on anything anymore because it stresses people out.
You're just Nikki. Just Nikki.
Just Nikki. I'm just Nikki. That's it. I'm just the girl next door. I'm just Nikki. So.
Well, I love it. And as you can tell, you're listening, Nikki is a ball of energy. And we're so excited to just listen, to hear your story and see just who you are a little bit, dig a little bit deeper. Nikki, tell us a little bit, I guess, what started you on the path of sublimation? Tell us where that spark ignited.
So I will tell you that my humble beginnings, I'm a fifth generation crafter. And so I've been going to craft shows since I was 12 years old. Now, that seems like a lifetime ago, at least in my world, it seems like a lifetime ago, but I never could find my niche. I didn't know what I could do. My grandmother and my mother were crocheters and knitters, and they just had this knack for crafting, and I couldn't find my way. Back in 2009, I've been making hair bows. It's where it started. And with any good business, there's always a rabbit hole to be had. And you just kind of enter down one rabbit hole and it just opens up another one. And it got to be to the point where I was on the fence about this whole thing called sublimation. And there was this business package from Heat Press Nation that I wasn't sure if I wanted to pull the trigger on. It was $8,000. And you're talking something 7-8 years ago. You're like, oh, that's a lot of money. Do you really want to be pulling that trigger? My dad had suffered a massive stroke. And out of that massive stroke, his sense of humor came out. And so I wanted to make him a shirt that said Mr. Bossy Pants. As everybody knows, I'm Sassy Subber. So it doesn't fall too far, right? So we were in the mall and I had been talking to my mom about this. I talked to my mom about every business decision that I make. She's my best friend, my sounding board. And I was like, Mom, we got to make Dad a shirt. And we went into this little kiosk and I remember them charging me $28 for just a single line that said Mr. Bossy Pants. And I nearly lost my mind. I was like, that's it. I'm pulling the trigger. I'm just doing it. Like, that was the launching point. Prior to that, I had spent 2 years researching. What is this thing called sublimation? What, you know, it sounded like such a foreign word, but in the mix of that whole business package, there was a vinyl cutter in there. And so it opened up two more avenues to just my regular bow making that I would go get the ribbon at your local store. I had started ordering it online so I could get a better deal. And it just, again, those rabbit holes. And here we are about almost six, seven years later, and I'm rocking it. So it was a blessing. It was a beautiful rabbit hole to go down. I'm glad I did all the research that I did. Because yeah. I think if I just said, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. I have no clue what it is. I didn't know what the terminology was. I don't think I'd be as far as I am right now. So that's where it started. It all started based on my dad, me getting him a shirt made Mr. Bossy Pants. So sometimes it's funny what makes you pull a trigger on buying a new piece of equipment or diving into another part of your business, expanding your business. You never know where that inspiration is going to come from. So my dad likes to tell me all the time that he's the reason for my business.
He's whatever, the reason.
Whatever your boat, Dad. Yeah.
Well, and I find it interesting that you said it cost you $28 and you remember that and that stuck in your head, but you were also willing to pay it because that was something special for you at the moment. And you realized at that moment, there's a market and money can be made. And I think that's a lot of people, even if they go down some of these rabbit holes, they're afraid that they won't find their worth, right? Like, it's not worth it. Like I'm new, or it's not worth it because I'm scared, or it's not worth it for whatever reason. They're talking themselves out of trying something that they've never tried before, when really they just have to take the first step. We talk about it a lot, that sometimes getting started is just, that's the hardest step to.
And one of the best things that you learn out of that first step, which people don't even think about, is you undercut yourself so much. So prime example, okay, so your shirt might cost you $3. You might be all in, you know, for the vinyl itself, pennies on the dollar, right? To make that one Mr. Bossy Pants shirt. And you're like, oh, I could go out and sell this for $10 or less. And what they don't realize, and what we don't realize when we first jump into this is where it comes from. We don't realize it. Okay, that's great. It might've only taken, you know, 2 inches worth of vinyl, but you had to buy a whole roll to get that 2 inches. So there's money invested. You had to make sure you had a vinyl cutter. So there's money invested. What is your time? What is your worth? And as you build your business, you realize where your worth is. But I know everyone, there is anyone on the planet who did this right out of the gate. They knew exactly what they were worth. They knew their time, their money, the whole nine. No one knows. Not until you're actually in it and you're actually weeding that vinyl at 2 a.m. in the morning. And you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is not, you know, or it was one of those huge projects. I could tell you about a huge project I did. I did 90 shirts. And this is where I ended up into another rabbit hole, which is screen print transfers. 90 shirts, front, back, and sleeve. And it was intricate detail. I had 8 of us here. We were literally weeding 5 hours a day for 3 days to get these 90 shirts weeded. And I went, never again. Never again am I ever doing this again. And then I found screen print transfers, and that opened up a whole new rabbit hole. So, you know, when we get out of the gate, right out of that gate, we undervalue ourselves. We undervalue exactly who we are as a person, as a business owner. We are all about the yes, yes, yes. And we forget that no is also a word. And it's okay to say no, especially to big projects. We so badly want to be able to say, oh yeah, we could do everything. We absolutely can. And then we quickly realize that no, that is not in our vocabulary to be able to do that. It's not part of our wheelhouse, and that's okay too.
Or it's a friend, right? You're trying to help a friend. Because
family is the worst.
Been there.
Family is the worst. They are the absolute worst when it comes to this. Although I will say I am blessed. My friends are probably the worst than my family, because my family will pay top dollar and not ask for a discount.
Right.
They will not expect the discount. Your true friends won't expect the discount. You know, they're gracious if you give them one, but they don't ask for it. It's the next level of friend, you know, the ones that are in your inner circle that are like, oh, is there a discount code for that? No.
It's the same amount of time and money to make yours as everyone else's.
Yep. And that's the hardest word. That is the hardest word when we're first starting out our business. And I think as we grow and we evolve and we find our worth, we realize that no can come a lot easier out of our mouth. And we understand who we are as a business. It's okay to outsource, because again, it might not be in our wheelhouse. So that no might be, no, I personally can't, but I do have, you know, someone in my wheelhouse that can. You don't tell your clients that, but it's there's so many different rabbit holes when you get into this style of apparel, decorating, all that type of stuff, business, that it just, one leads you to here, one leads you to there. But the end result is finding out who you are as a business owner. What do you want to have? What do you want to carry? Are you a niche kind of person? Do you want to be the maker of all things? I think we stress ourselves out when we do that, but that's a whole other conversation.
Easy to do the maker of all things. Like, just, I can do that.
But again, it needs to be followed by no, you can't, because now you have to think about, before you say the yes, right? Do you have all of the equipment to be able to say that yes and be able to give it to these people at a competitive price? There's the key fact right there, right? Mm-hmm. Or are you a maybe, And while, yes, you could do some competitive pricing, but you're probably going to have to outsource it because you're missing two or three of the components that you need.
Right.
Or are you a hard no? Nope, not doing it. I am not. Nope. I know where that's going and I don't like it. It's not pretty. You know, it could be a difficult client. It could be just a difficult task altogether. It's too much groundwork to go look to find the outsource for it. So you look at every client when they come to you and they approach you as to, are you a yes? Are you a maybe? Or are you a no? And you have to figure out what category they're in. I mean, I use the analogy when we're coming to your back office for your business, the red, the yellow, and the green light, right? And the same holds true. Are you yes, no, or maybe? So it works for dealing with clients. It works for your back office, you know, and run your business that way. Because again, we don't always have to be yeses. We start out with yes, yes, yes. And then we realize that there's a maybe and that there's a no in that conversation.
And I think it's a good thing sometimes. You don't have to give an answer immediately, right? If someone comes and says, can you do this? It's okay to be like, you know what? Let me get back to you. And then you
Johnny can, on the spot. Johnny right. on the spot. You don't have to be Johnny on the spot. One thing I've learned is you can say, can we revisit this? Mm-hmm. Especially when they're messaging you at 6:30, 7:30, whatever it is at night. You've stopped your business hours at 5 o'clock. You try. We all know. Try. Keyword, right? Try. 11:30, I'm getting a message. And I do it to people too. But I've learned two things that I've tried to teach people. I'm just brain dumping. Mm-hmm. So it means I don't have to answer you. I'm going to just brain dump. Here you go. Just this way. I said I sent it, you know, kind of thing. But I will respond back with, can we revisit this in the morning or can we revisit this tomorrow during my normal business hours? What does that do? It allows me for some grace. Mm-hmm. It allows for me to mull it over, sleep it out, wake up in the morning with a fresh cup of coffee and go, okay, do you really want to do this? How do you really want to answer that question? Because we all want to have that knee jerk reaction, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, to whatever that is on our screen, in our emails, in our text messages, our Facebook inboxes. We always have that knee jerk, yeah, sure, I can do that, not a problem. And you forgot about it 3 days later because, of course, you put it out of your mind.
Right.
If you teach yourself to say, can we revisit this later? It will force you to revisit it later.
Yes.
Because it's on your to-do list. As soon as you say, yeah, I can do that, a lot of times we forget that we said, yeah, we could do that because we've taken it off our plate. So it's okay to not be Johnny on the spot. It's okay to say, can we revisit this in the morning? Acknowledge them. I feel acknowledgement because we don't have these huge businesses that have, you know, the virtual assistant to be able to say, oh yes, they'll definitely be able to do that. No, we really don't. That's reality. Right. We're the virtual assistant. You know, some of us can't afford that. Those are okay, but acknowledge that you've seen it because they're going to see that you've seen it. So acknowledge them, be courteous.
When you say, you know what, I need to, you know, I will revisit this in the morning or tomorrow during my business hours. It's also letting them know that, hey, we're really considering it. I don't know. This is out of my realm of normal. Like, I need to think about this. But it's also letting them know, like, hey, I might not be able to do everything and I'm going to think about it. And I don't want to put you in a bad position either. Like, if you need this in a certain amount of time and I can't make it, I don't want you to be upset and I don't want you to miss your deadline because I thought I could do something that I can't. And then, you know, it just gets, you know.
Right. It starts this whole snowball effect that, you know, and if you are the one of those Johnny on the spot kind of people, mm-hmm. here's the questions you should ask, especially if it's 10:30 at night and someone's messaged you, hey, can I get back to you on this during my next business day? But here's a couple questions I need you to answer that'll help me when I do get to revisit this. When do you need to buy? Always my first question. When do you need to buy? If it's apparel, I ask them like the kind of apparel. I do ask them some of the groundbreaking questions because again, while I'm mulling this all over, I have some of already the details that I need. Right. And then I always follow it up with, okay, great. Thanks for all the information, whatever the information is that I needed. I will revisit this during my business hours tomorrow and get back to you. And leave it at that, because one, you've answered your client. Two, they know that at least, like you said, you're entertaining the thought, you're getting all your ducks in a row and figuring it all out. But those are things that I had to learn. Those weren't somebody handed me this business 101 rule book and how you're supposed to do this as a single person in your business. No one explains this to you. And I set out years ago when I first started with sublimation that I was going to be that person. I was going to be that person who would get on my lives, get in my YouTube channel, get on my social media and explain it to you, because I'm going to explain it. You're going to take what you want from it, put it in your filing cabinet, A, in your head of need to know now. The filing cabinet B in your head is I'm going to need to know that later. And the filing cabinet C is the garbage. It's never going to pertain to me. I'm just throwing it out. You're going to sit there and take whatever information I give you and you're going to put it in those three categories. So I know Christina loves organization, so that just totally made sense in her brain.
Yes, let's do it.
She's like, yes, I love the red light, green light. I can see the look on her face. It was great. But those are the looks that I love. Those are the looks that I love. Like, okay, yup, that's exactly how I'm going to start doing these things. I even have an Excel spreadsheet that's labeled red, green, yellow,
right?
You know, because I need to. My notepads, you know, are the same way.
Well, so, like you said, you're only one person and you can only take in so much information and put out so much information and product, right? And so you have to put it in the categories so that you can prioritize or decide. So I wanted to switch gears just a little bit. So you said that you bought the equipment and then you touched on a little bit how you have your group and whatnot. How did it go from, okay, now I purchased this equipment, this big bundle of everything. How did you go from there to where you are today? And so maybe start out with maybe people don't know what sublimation is. So let's start. What is sublimation? You have the equipment and now you are the sassy subber.
Wow. That's a loaded question.
A lot. I'm sorry.
Okay, wow.
First, what is sublimation?
Oh, okay. So first of all, for those who have no clue what sublimation is, I'm going to give you the nerdy geeky version of it. Okay. I geek out on this part of it. It totally is fascinating. It is science. Basically you have an ink, especially formulated ink that is put on a specially formulated paper. So they marry each other with a printer and it's called a sublimation printer. You print it out. You can't use your regular inkjet printers that you go pick at the Home Depot kind of thing. You'd have to convert it over, or not Home Depot, but Staples. You'd have to go convert it, you know, kind of thing with sublimation ink. Don't think you can just use any ink on the market. You know, you're going to just go pick up your toner and you're going to make it work. It doesn't work that way. So you have to have sublimation ink. You have to have paper that's made for sublimation. And what it does is when heat is applied to the paper, which is attached to your substrate, whatever it is, it off-gasses. It literally, I like to call it tie-dyeing for geeks, okay? It's basically taking the ink and dyeing whatever it is there. So for fabrics, it dyes the fabric. It'll never come off. It dyes on the substrate, right? So if you have a coaster, for an example, that's specially coated, it has to have a special coating for it. You can't just go to the Dollar Tree to pick it up. There doesn't always work that way. That's specially coated. And it literally presses the image onto these substrates, right? But you need heat. You need high heat. And when we're talking high heat, we're talking like 400 degree heat, right? So these heat presses that you're getting, you really would really need a good heat press in the sense of like a clamshell or a swing away, because some things call for different times, temps, and pressure. Some things you can lower the time down. So that's pretty much the geeky, nerdy version. It comes off the paper like magic and goes on to whatever your substrate is. Now, how did I get into it? So I bought that business package and I had joined a few Facebook groups. And the one Facebook group, there was a lot of people in it and they were asking questions. And I just figured out how to do it. And I am a person who just loves to help. I love to help. That's who I am. That is probably my gift, I guess. I just, the willingness to help and share whatever knowledge I had. So I was doing this and I was sharing my knowledge as I figured things out or I stumbled upon it. And we were learning and growing together. I decided to take a huge leap of faith. And I did my very first live being scared out of my mind that I was going to go live in a Facebook group and people were going to watch me. And you didn't know where they're going to watch you from, but you know what? You're going to teach and don't fumble over your words. So I have very humble beginnings. My voice cracked. I was so nervous, but I wanted to show them what I was working on because sometimes it's just easier to see it visually and hear it. You know, you absorb it differently than if you read it in text.
Right.
And that's when I found I was really good at what I was doing. And it started this weekly live called The SaaS. It was started as the Sunday SaaS with Nikki. And over time, it got shortened to The SaaS. And it became this kind of household name, which was weird to me. People started just watching it on their big screen TVs in their living room. They would send me screenshots. Nikki, look, you're on the big 54-inch. And I'm like, stop that. You know, I just want to be on a little tiny camera on your phone. Okay. You don't need to see me in big real life here. And the more I did it and the more I learned and the more substrates I tackled and conquered, I just needed to share it. I started my own Facebook group a few years back and just continued. I brought the SaaS over with me. My business name changed from being Designs by LPB Designs, because LPB Designs is actually my physical shop name. It changed to, with a friend's help, The Sassy Subber. She goes, you are sassy, Nikki. Come on, let's call a spade here. And you love everything sublimation and you teach that. So just let's call you The Sassy Subber. And there it has stuck. So yeah, I went from being terrified, not really having a clue, had researched this newfound fangled way to do something for me, you know, into now what I, you know, I'm doing now. I'm doing interviews, I'm teaching, I'm traveling teaching. That it was always in the dream. I always wanted to teach all over the United States. I wanted to travel. I wanted to meet people in the reels. As I tell everybody, I can't wait to hug your face and be able to sit down and talk to you face to face and hear your heart and hear where you really want to go, help you with your business, because we're more than just sublimation. We're more than just embroidery. You know, we're people. And where does this all kind of fit? And that's where we're at. So I decided I wanted to take the world by storm and I'm doing it.
You are. And I find that quite encouraging for, because there's so many people that are just like, I have this big dream. I have this big dream, but I can't take that first step, or I'm scared. Think about if you were too scared to do that first live, you know, what if you'd let yourself talk yourself out of it? What if you, that just never happened?
I probably did. I probably talked myself out of it probably for 3 weeks before I actually did it.
Yes. Well, but the key is you did it.
I did it.
I did it.
And it's scary. And that's the thing. Like, I don't know anybody that's not a little hesitant or a little nervous before they get on. I mean, even us starting the podcast or us doing lives as well. Like, we were really nervous in the beginning. Like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to start this, all this stuff. And now it's like, yeah, I'll see you on the podcast at 10 or 11 or whatever. And it's just like, it's no big deal. Like, yeah, we talk about it, but it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Like the first one
is terrifying.
Also another one that never got edited. Like we recorded it and we're like,
we're like, okay, so we can't put that one out, but then we try again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to mess up. It's okay. Yeah. You will mess up. And if you're
absolutely will.
And that's the thing I show on my SaaS is I literally have a completely unedited version. When you see the SaaS on Sunday mornings, on the shameless plug program here, it's always 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. It's broadcast on YouTube and on Facebook, so you can come in and watch. And then you can go back and watch the rewind. It's completely unedited. I wanted it to be that way. And you can go back and see where I had some major frustrations in me trying to figure something out, especially if it was a brand new product that had just come out. I wanted you to be a part of the journey. Here's why. Because if I, who has pressed just about every substrate on the planet when it comes to sublimation, I wanted to show you my frustration because I wanted you to feel less lonely. Because this business is extremely lonely. And I set out to find the community who was like, Oh, thank God. Take it. You know what? Thank you for just messing that up for me. Now I feel human again. I feel like, you know what? We're kindred spirits. You're not just put up on a pedestal and you're not just editing it out and going, oh, look, I made this beautiful thing. And you messed it up four times. No, you're like, listen, this is about the eighth take on this. I'm sorry, but you know, but I want you to show, but then we talk through the process. Okay. This is what I should have done. This is what I could have done. And those little nuggets are what sticks with you. Okay. So Nikki pressed this and she figured out X, Y, and Z. If I can help you,
yeah,
you know, figure it out prior to you screwing up eight of them, then that's a win in my book. I have taught you something. I taught you how to navigate through it and you have some major successes. If no one knows, if you didn't know, I have this, it's the 40 Tumblr club. I've messed up 40 tumblers in one live. One live. I messed up 40 tumblers and the tears just rolled down my face during this live. And I was so frustrated. I could not get the shrink wrap to, I didn't know what I was doing. I had my time, my temp. I was using the convection oven. I almost put my convection oven out in the middle of the road. Like it was a horrible, like if you go back and watch it, it was such a horrible thing. But my tribe, my group will tell you about it and go, we were right there with you. It was like watching your favorite TV show going, come on, you can do it. You can do, come on. You got this. You got this. You got, like they were cheering me on from literally all over the world. And one of my tribe members is from Australia. She goes, I'm up at 2 a.m. going, come on, Nikki, you got this. You got this. Show us how to do it. You got this. Come on, girl. You got this. And I laugh because I'm thinking all I wanted to do was crawl in a hole and die because here I am. I'm supposed to be the sassy subber. One or two is great. 40? Come on. Seriously? Like who does that?
I'm impressed that you had 40.
Well, I had bought a ton of them from China when they first started coming out and I got them for really inexpensive. And I was like, you know what? We're going to do it. We're doing it. We're just doing it. Because it was so new at the time, mm-hmm. No one had the correct time, temp, and pressure. No one had cooked them in a convection oven. The language barrier from China to here in the US was huge and trying to figure that out. They didn't even have like the right time, temp, and pressure. So now here I am navigating a brand new product out in our world. And I did. And I've seen 100 billion people in my world, at least it feels that way, come back to me and go, thank you, because now I knew what I was doing wrong and you helped me through it. And I'm not a part of the 40 Tumblr club. Like, I want nobody in this club. Nobody deserves to be in this club.
Well, also I feel like you get more credibility for a majority of the people when they've seen you mess up. It's not just like picture perfect for social media. It's
right.
They've seen you mess up. They've seen you fall. They've seen you have success after you fall, which I feel like just gives you so much more. And it gives, for someone watching and for someone that, you know, is in or is trying to do sublimation or any of that stuff, like they see it and then they're like, you know what? Even Nikki that knows all of it messes up. And you know what? It's okay if I mess up and I can continue. And I just think it gives you so much more.
If there's a trust validity. Factor.
Yeah. There's a trust
you
factor.
Build such a trust with them. And I polled my group once. If you could name one thing that you love about this group, what is it? And the unanimous is how real and honest and kind my willingness to share my knowledge and not be afraid. I don't care. I'll show you how to design. That's fine. You're not going to take money off my, you know, out of my pocket. I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. Good luck. I'll help you. The fact that I'm willing to mess up and be human, you know, that's huge. I feel like we cover ourselves too much in the sense of we got to make it picture perfect. Like you said, social media perfect. I like to bring it back that I'm not a professional. And I'm not perfect. So if you don't want a professional and you don't want perfect, I'm your girl, right? That's it. I'm your girl. Because if you think I'm a professional, then you have a misunderstanding of what professional is. See, I see professional as flawless, which is probably totally not the thing because even professional athletes, you know, they make mistakes, right? But I never want to be called professional because I feel like that changes your level. mind game, you know? So nope, I'm glad I took the leap. I took the leap of faith. I did it. And I'm loving the journey I'm on. I absolutely love this more than anything else.
It's clear that you love what you're doing. And that is what I want. I think that's what I was most excited about chatting with you, because everyone who even just sees you in passing knows that you love what you're doing. And I want people to know that they can love what they're doing too, even if they fail, and that they should love what they're doing. And if they don't, then maybe just take a small step back and see if you can change something small that would just bring you a little bit more joy. And you just start adding little steps of joy and
find people who you connect with. I mean, this was a great, and I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty of it, but you know, Christina didn't know me from Adam. Okay. And here she is while we're at your show, the EEM show, we're sitting around the fire and we're literally just having a fantastic conversation. And I got to see her heart, but she could, because there's definitely, you know, that sixth sense kind of thing. You just get a feel for a person going, you know what? They're willing to listen to me. They're willing to hear me out, willing to hear whatever I have to say. And she did. It was fantastic. But that's the kind of person I want to portray. I want you to be okay with coming to me with whatever issue you have. I want you to be okay with coming to me and feel safe. And that's where that trust factor comes in, is you want to feel safe. You want to feel connected. You want to know that, you know, you found your tribe in your community, whether you've messed up or not, you find all these people who are just like you. And that's the part of it. You want to find the people who you look up to, you feel like you're connected with them, and you keep right on going, because that's what's going to help you grow your business. Ultimately, having these people be able to share your thoughts. I use the analogy of real estate agents. We all sell the same houses, right? But, you know, Hope might go, hey, so I don't know how to stage this house correctly. It's an odd layout. I may come in and go, you know what? You might be better off doing it. We're competitors, technically, you know, in the real estate market, right? If you were to go that route, we're competitors, but she still needs to sell her house. She got that contract for the house. She needs to sell it, but I can help her maybe sell it better by doing a better staging. Because right. We need to help each other. You need to find that kind of community, no matter what walk of life you're in. So,
right. And you're all going to be in slightly different walks, right? Like you can come from completely different worlds, but come together for your love of whatever the craft is that you're choosing to do.
Yep.
And you can find people that will connect on that level, but then you'll learn something because they're going through something different than you are in personally, or, you know, maybe financially or emotionally, whatever it is that they're going through, you can gain a little piece of gold also that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I don't know, you've done a wonderful job creating a community, and I'm just honored that you continue to bring this to our industry. Because that's what we need. We need the entire industry to come together and just to let it grow, you know? Mm-hmm. And I, like you said, this is, it's sublimation is a part of it, but it's so much more than that, you know?
And oh yeah.
It's.
And we're going to share things that even might not be sublimation, embroidery, screen print transfers, whatever related, it could just be life related.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and understanding that that work-life balance, you know, only another small business owner could possibly understand the struggles of having your kiddos home mm-hmm. and running your business and trying to be all things to everyone. You find those people, even if it's not the craft related, it's beyond that. It's beyond the craft related stuff too.
Right. So. Well, and I'll just be vulnerable for a second here. You know, I know I am far, 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 far from perfect. And there's so many balls in the air. There's so many balls. And when you desperately want to keep all of them up, sometimes you just feel less than, you know, mm-hmm. you just do because you're trying so hard and you almost feel like you're swimming and going nowhere. But right. The only thing really that keeps me going, one is my family, two are the people I surround myself with, mm-hmm. you know, the money's whatever. Like, of course, if you don't have money in a business, then that makes it more difficult. But you're going to see ups and downs in the economy, and like we are right now, you know?
Yeah.
At least for me, it's probably different for everybody, but for me, the people are what keep me going.
Oh yeah. You know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, I see what my sister's going through, or what Hope's going through, or what my kids need, or what my family needs, or you, like, I see you, you know, striving or whatever. And I'm just like, you know what? Today's a bad day, but I'm going to take one more step. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's going to be better.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, tomorrow's another day. Mm-hmm. Totally set of different problems, a totally set of different rules. Today's a good day for a good day. I say that every morning. Today's a good day for a good day. Set your mindset. No matter what storm, remember storms pass.
Yes.
They don't stay forever. They pass. I was explaining in my group about how you define success. What is success? So I did a vendor event, and people feel that at vendor events, and you touched upon it a little bit, you know, oh, I got to make all this money at this vendor event. Well, it's more than that, right? It's the connections you make. That is probably the biggest success. How many people did you talk to? Did you make an impact on them? You know, enough to want them to come back and talk to you again and want to be in your circle, right? Did you make those beautiful connections? Because that can also define success. You could have a totally crap show. You can make no money at that show, but you talk to everybody there. You don't know the residual effect that's going to have later on after the fact,
right?
You know, of where they're going to bring you. And we get so stuck on the dollars and the cents that it's more than that.
Right.
It's always more than that. And we beat ourselves up. Oh, we didn't financially do this well. Okay. Awesome. But did you talk to anybody? Well, yeah, I got to talk to the people from the historical society. I got to talk to this guy who owns a whole bunch of old cars. He's part of a car club. I got to talk to two other business owners. Yeah. I talked to them. Why? Yep. Talk to me in a month. And I bet you they come back. Sure enough, without missing a beat, you're right. Because that defined your success, because you made an impact on them to come back.
Well, and adding to that, sometimes if you get so wrapped up in maybe it's the financial, maybe it's another part, your attitude while being there is shifted. And therefore you could possibly be shutting out potential customers or potential connections because you're so focused on something else.
Oh,
if you're at a show and you're like, oh, well, you know, this wasn't exactly what I wanted, or anywhere, you know, you start a business, this isn't exactly what I wanted. It's never going to be exactly what you want, regardless. But if you can find something positive about it and show up, and just keep showing up, it's going to come back to you. I think people will get, you know, fixated on one little thing. And sometimes that's why people shut their business down completely, because they're so focused on one thing that they miss.
And they set the expectation bar way too high. That expectation bar is way too high. Go in with no expectations and you come out a winner, because you go in going, if I can get at least one thing done today, yay, go me, right? Because you at least got that one thing accomplished. If you go in with a list of 30 items and think I have to finish these 30 items, I can guarantee you, you're not going to finish those 30 items. I'll talk to you at 8 o'clock tonight when you're in tears going, I only got three done. And I'll look at you and you got three done.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to spin it to you differently. Spin everything differently. Change the mindset. Everybody worries about that. Oh my gosh, you know, the glass is half full and I'm almost done. No, the glass is half full. I've got a lot of stuff I can still cram into that thing.
Yes.
Change mindset.
If your class is half full, that means each person in that class gets more individualized attention.
Absolutely.
You connect with them more than you would have if it was completely busting at the seams. So there is a positive regardless if you see it initially or not.
Well, and I think one of the things, and it kind of goes back to what we were saying before, is also like people see businesses being successful and they don't see everything that it took. And like a lot of things, again, with social media, and I go back to it a lot because it's so much, it's such a part of our life, but they don't see a lot of times, unless you let them, all the struggles you had to get to that point. And I think a lot of people starting a business, they're like, I just want it to be successful. But they want it to be successful from the day that they started. And it's like, although you can do all of these steps,
it takes time.
It takes time, but you also kind of need to redefine success and look at it in a broader picture. Because it's not just dollar and cents. Yes, that does help you.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you need money to keep going. I'm not saying that.
Right. No, and I agree with that.
Yes, it's talking to people. It's, you know, there's so many different ways you can measure it. And you know what? Sometimes I completely agree. Sometimes you have to say, I did three things today instead of I was aiming for 30.
Right.
Like, you know, sometimes that's just what it is. That's life.
And that's the thing. People see this. They look at me and they go, oh, Nikki, you're so successful. You have all these online businesses. You have this, you know, amazing design shop. And I went, okay, you know, I haven't slept in 6 years, right? Like, can we really talk about it now? Let's just talk about the ugly part of it. Like, I have a husband. I know he's here somewhere. You know I have one. Kids, who are they? I know mine graduated within that time frame too. I think I was there for that because that is, it sounds funny, but how true is that? Yes. You look at your business and I go, I finally got to bed before 3 a.m. Oh, thank you. I got to bed before 3 a.m. I got to finish that. And I was back up at 6, you know, 3 hour nap. I got my nap in. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're good. They don't see that the struggles you had because you completely messed up an order. Like it was a tanked order and you had to go back and reorder everything for that order and all that money you're out. Or those missed opportunities of those, like I talk about it. I put in a bid for the last 3 years for a union job for apparel and I lost out every year. And it was so frustrating because I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I get this? It should just come to me. I'm a local, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not how it works, right? We're so determined that we put our own selves on this very, very high pedestal. The problem is we put ourselves on a high pedestal. We forgot to put the ladder next to it.
Yep.
Right. We forgot that we have to come down every now and then and be down here in the trenches and realize what work is. And that's it. I don't want anybody to put me on a pedestal because they have no idea the blood, the sweat, the tears, as they say, what went into it, the arguments. You know, and especially with my husband, but I need to do this out of my own frustration. I got to get this done. You're exhausted. I don't care, you know, and you being nasty towards your children, not because your children did anything wrong. You're just so tired. Right? You're just so tired. You're like, I'm sorry, kiddo. Come on, let's just go do some shopping. Let's go spend some quality. You want to watch that movie? You want to watch Blue's Clues for the 400th time? I'm there. Yeah. Because you know what? I need a Blue's Clues moment as well. You know, and that's what I used to say to my kids. Okay, I'll bear in the big blue house because my kids are a little bit older. We'll go do that. And that was a total just way for me to step away from my business because my business is at home. Mm-hmm. And just like most of us, you know, you're in the thick of it all day long. You don't get to get out of it. You can't just shut the door. You're there. And it's constantly calling you and calling you. You have to get this project done. You got to get this project done. No one works harder than the small business owner working out of their home. I'm going to tell you that 100% true. No one works harder.
Yes.
Than this, and because if you take like big box America, they have hours and they stick to them. We're closed at 11. You know, we open up at 6. We don't even have our customer service agents answering you at that point. So I don't know why we feel we have to be all those things, but people see us as all those things. Like they think that I've got my stuff together. No, I'm flying by the seat of my pants 24/7.
Right. And if someone were to just come in, so after this podcast, say they look up the Sassy Subber, right? And they see you have your group, you have your shop, you have your speaking engagements, all these things, and they see the one snapshot, right? They don't realize that all those things, all those different parts that are what you are today didn't come all at the same time either. Oh. It's okay. You started somewhere. And once you got that under control, you added and you changed and you tweaked. And now you are where you are today. And next year, you're going to be somewhere different too. All these things may be still part of it. I'm sure they will be, but they're going to be slightly different. Just because you found me today doesn't mean that it wasn't different before. And don't be discouraged because you see this big, pretty picture. I mean, us too, right? We didn't have everything embroidery market years ago. We're always changing. And hope, honestly, when you were saying just now about you take a second and just watch TV with your kiddos. Hope's been my like grounding rod here. She's like, okay, go do something. Like just get out of here for a minute.
Uh-huh. Well, and that too. I have to do it to myself too, because I spiral and I'm not getting anything done. It gets to a point where it's like, I'm no longer being productive. I am staring at something, trying to solve a problem. And my mind is so like into one little thing that I need to step back, take a minute, you know, whether it's going to bring my kid to Target or going to the park or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just let me step outside the house. Let me do something. Let me focus on them for a minute. And then I come back and I got it. I figured it out. You know, I got a fresh mindset. And I think that's the thing too. I know women do it a lot. I know men do it, but I know women.
Because we put so much on our plate, we end up with a buffet table.
Exactly. Yes. We need the largest plate.
Yeah. Possible. Yeah, we end up with a buffet table because we have our little plate. Oh, we can put that. You know what? I can always add just another plate, and I can add another plate and another plate, and you end up with a buffet table by the time you're done. I mean, we all women do that. I swear we all do it.
That can spin the plates.
Yep.
Yeah. They have like, and there's like one on their nose, and
I mean, you gotta think about your business. Like, okay, building a house. Okay. Yes. You can go get a fully manufactured house. It comes and gets delivered onto your slab or your foundation. Well, okay. But every business has to start somewhere. It starts with the plans. You have your plans of whatever your house is. You have to make sure you have the foundation, make sure you have all the electric, the water. Did you also remember that you have to maybe run cable lines, right? You have to still have all of these steps before even that manufactured house can even be put on whatever that foundation or that slab is that you had to create. And it all started with the plan. You got to have a plan for every day, a plan long-term. You need a plan for that moment. You need one for that 24 hours. You need one for that week. You need one for that month. You need one for that year, maybe 6 months, depending on you know, the kind of person you are. You need a plan for every part. We call them goals.
Yes.
But maybe it's a plan to build your ultimate beautiful home, your business. You know, whatever your business is, and it's going to morph. It's going to change over time. You're going to add rooms, subtract rooms. You're going to change the paint color 17 times. I can guarantee it. You're going to move those outlets in your perfect shop. And build it like that. And that's how you have to look at it. No matter what task, whether it's craft related, work related, life related, you're building a house. You're building your own little community in your head. And it starts with a plan. So go into it with a plan. Just realize your plan is going to change. There are going to be multiple edits to your plan. If you're the type of person that gets so hung up that it has to be the way the blueprints said it had to be, and I come to you and go, you can't put the outlet there, Hope. I'm sorry. It just can't go there. It's next to the water. But I want it there. That's awesome. But you're not getting it there. Can we please move it somewhere else? You have to be willing to go, okay, well, where can I move it? Same holds true for your business. I might not be able to have, and this is circling right back to the beginning, is I might not be able to say yes to that whole type of business. But okay, what are my other options?
Yes.
I might be able to outsource it. I might, before I can get to that, no, I can't. Where's all my maybes first? What maybes can I still do? Because I really want to say yes to this, but it's out of my wheelhouse. So I'm going to have it in my maybes. I really just don't want to say no. So you're going to move what you have to move, do what you have to do to get that maybe to work to a yes. So you like how I just totally circled that back? That
was you did.
It only took me 52 minutes to do it, but I'm good.
Yes. Well, and we'll circle more. So you, again, there's a lot of challenges. And like you said, there's been fights and confusion and whatever, but it still brings you joy.
Every day.
It still brings you joy, and it's worth it because you found your place, you found your tribe, like you call it, your people, uh-huh. your sass. You found that. And yeah. so even when you have the bad days, you just keep going because you love it. And I
that helps you get through those bad days is because I love it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think what you have built is amazing. And I'm proud to call you a friend.
Aw, me too. You know what? It was nice being able to literally meet Hope in the airport. I only seen her on like this kind of forum, and I'm like, Hope? You know, that's what having this beautiful what? Online right, community is. I'm like, what are the odds I'm going to meet, you know? But that's the beautiful part. And part of my tribe, and that was something I started during the pandemic, were our Zoom meetups. Yes. We have these Zoom meetups where it's almost like happy hour, where we can have something like this. We can talk shop because it is such a lonely business. And our families are just tired of hearing us complain about the same stuff. So we needed to find people who understood our complaints. And then we're not complaining so much to our families about it. And they're like, oh, wow, are things going well? Well, no, it's still craptastic, but you just don't hear about it anymore. Okay. I found a new people. Listen to me and understand me. You know, I found my group, right? And that's what it's about. I absolutely love what I do. I love that I inspire people. I love that I can make people feel that they're, you know, can conquer the world, even if they can't. I'll make you feel that way. I am your biggest fan, your biggest cheerleader. I'll sit on those sidelines for you. I can't do the work for you, but I can guide you to every bit of what I can. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm willing to make the mistakes standing right next to you going, all right, let's do it.
Yes.
But I'm scared. You know what? I'm scared too. I'm scared that we're going to make this wonderful. That's what I'm scared. And then it's going to just blow up in our face of beautifulness. So I'm scared too. See, I'll switch it. I'll switch your fear. I'll switch your fear to going, you're right. This is going to be absolutely amazing. And it's terrifying. And I get that, but we're still here. We're still going to do it. I will give you, and that's where the sass comes in. I will, you know, they love to tell you that I will hand you your butt with a hug because I will give it to you straight in the sweetest way. I won't be rude about it. Absolutely not. We get beaten up enough in life. And with today's world, we don't need any more of that. But I'll look at you and go, are you okay? I'll reach out. I'm one of the few mod or admins and groups that will literally message her members, each one of them, privately, obviously. And I'd say, hey, I'm just checking on you. You're awfully quiet. They might not talk ever in my group, but I'll say, hey, you're awfully quiet. I just want to make sure business is going well. Is there anything I can help you with? And I will go through the entire alphabet and message them. Now, the ones that I talk to all the time, I always private message them, but it's the ones that are the quiet ones that I don't see commenting that all of a sudden they're like, hi, did I do something wrong, Nikki? No. I just wanted to say hi and that I'm here for you. And that, how you doing? Are you doing okay? Yeah, everything all right? And usually I get a paragraph. And then all of a sudden it was like somebody opened the floodgates and, you know, and I will take that time because we miss that. We miss the check-in. We miss that there's somebody on our side and they think that of me as just, oh, it's just another admin of a group. She could care less, you know, about me and my business. Oh, see, that's not true. If I could get them all together, I would literally circle the room and talk to every single person.
Yep. And I bet you sending those messages, like you said, you get a paragraph, but mm-hmm. now they feel more connected. And I bet they chat more after that. Mm-hmm. You feel the personal invitation, you know, yes. I'm not just in a group. I'm part of a group.
Yep. Yep. And that's it. I work through the alphabet. So like I'm due to do a new letter and I pick, you know, I might pick M. All the M's in my group will get those messages. And it might be the same message. You might all get the same message or a variation of, but where the conversation goes is completely up to you.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So build a community, find your tribe, be with the people you want to be with. Know that your business is never going to be what you thought it was going to be ever. Enjoy the ride. Think about this as stay in your lane. I talk about this all the time. Stay in your lane. The mountain view is in front of you. Know that that mountain, you'll never get it. You're never going to reach the mountain. I just want you to know, because if you reach the mountain, you're done. So we never want to reach the mountain. We strive to. Right. But don't worry about the billboard signs on the side of your road that are going to deter you, tell you you're less than, tell you you can't do this. All the negativity are on those billboards. Just keep driving right on. You're going to have people that are going to pass you. I am going to literally look at you and go, challenge accepted. Bye. Yep. And then there's going to be people who are going to look at me and go, Nikki, you're going awfully slow. Yeah, because I'm enjoying the view.
Yep.
I'm enjoying the ride. You know, so we're going to pass each other. We're going to be each other's competition. I hate that word. But I look at it as, okay, we're still doing our thing. Some people have 4-lane highways. Christina has a 4-lane highway. She's multitasking, you know, and she's got lots of highway, you know, but she's there, you know, it's okay. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to just be and make it through day to day. If you get one task done, awesome. That's one goal towards wherever it is you're headed. Your goal is going to be different from my goal. It's going to be different from Hope's goal. And that's okay too. That's what makes everything absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely.
So take those moments in, enjoy the entire ride and the view.
Yeah.
And just know it's a crazy one and it's amazing.
So now I think that's a really good place to just talk about where people can find you, Miss Nikki. I think people are going to leave this podcast feeling inspired and excited. And if you want to continue this conversation, continue, be part of Nikki's tribe, just share with us where we can find you.
If you go to Google and you type in the Sassy Subber, I literally am like the first 20 things, but here's the more important part. So you can find me on Facebook at the Sassy Subber. If you get to the Sassy Subber Designs page, that's kind of my business page. You'll find the group there too. You can find my YouTube channel under the Sassy Subber on TikTok, Instagram, Pinterest, Etsy. Just type in the Sassy Subber, S-U-B-B-E-R, and you will find me. You will find me. And I look forward to being a part of whoever's journey. And I can't wait.
Yes. And you won't regret it. I think, obviously, Nikki is very, very, very passionate about what she does. She wants to encourage you. She wants to include you. And you're personally invited to be part of the Sassy Subber tribe.
Yep. So, yep. Sassy Nation.
Yes. I love it. Okay. And then we're just going to just chat really fast. It's the end of the show. I know an hour has passed by quickly. If you guys have not already registered for Everything Embroidery Market, we are going to be in Myrtle Beach at the Myrtle Beach Convention Center, September 22nd through the 24th. We have a lot of vendors. We have a lot of classes talking everything from sublimation, embroidery, transfers, heat press, vinyl, rhinestones, business classes, all that kind of stuff can be found at everythingembroiderymarket.com. Please sign up. We will be chatting on our Facebook Live. I guess as soon as we finish up this podcast, we only have a couple more weeks left. Once that is over, we'll be doing Facebook Lives with our vendors on our Facebook page. So if you haven't joined us there, go to Everything Embroidery Market on Facebook and join the fun.